This quarter is on creation. So this will sum up my feelings about this quarter with this story. When I was about 13 years old in El Paso, my dad decided that he wanted me to be a dentist. And so we drove around one summer, and he would be driving there in El Paso, and we'd come to a strip center or to a mall or places, and he would say, "Now, Ernie, do you think this is a good place to put a dentist office?" Now, I'm 13 years old and was smart enough to understand I had a 50-50 chance of answering correctly, you know, and I would say yes, and he'd say why, or I'd say no, and he'd say, well, pretty soon I kind of got an idea of what he thought. Now, I went into biology class, and it was my first C I got in high school, was biology. I hated the subject. Who cares about a leaf and its little chloroform or its little deal or whatever? I just hated it. And then when it came to dissecting a frog, I cut that little booger up into so many pieces you couldn't even recognize it. My dad had watched how I walked, and he had also watched how my manual dexterity was not very good, and he came to the conclusion that dentistry was not for me. In fact, if I would have become a dentist, probably the three biggest statements I would have used was, "Oops, I bet that hurt, and I'm sorry." So I gave up dentistry at the age of about 14, and then my daddy decided I needed to be a salesman, and that's what I became, and which I'm very grateful. So here's my point. I'm not excited about creation, and we're going to spend 13 weeks on it. I don't like science. I don't care for science. I don't study science. I find it boring. And yet, we are going to find this quarter some interesting things, hopefully, about creation. When I was about 23, I had the privilege of teaching a Sabbath school class in San Antonio, Texas. Now, I was kind of young and naive and energetic. And I remember only taught the class one time. And you'll see why in just a second. And so I was kind of idealistic. So I had a person in the class, and it was on creation. And I had a person in the class right out of the box that said, "Well, I absolutely believe in evolution." And of course, you can imagine the horror and everything just went bananas. And the second mistake I made was there had been a flood down in South Texas, and all over the paper was the Catholic Church and how they had taken care of all the people. It was just well publicized. So, you know, being young and idealistic, I said, you know, where were the Seventh-day Adventists? The Catholics were down there. They got the pub. What in the world was Seventh-day Adventists? How come we wasn't at the forefront in everything? Well, guess what was in my class? The two community service people and the Dorcas person. So, wow, I mean, they're standing up in the class saying, "We were doing this, and we were doing this, and we were doing this." So, anyway, that was the end of my teaching in San Antonio, Texas. So, but I don't really care for science. So when I saw this lesson, I have to struggle a little bit with it personally. However, there's always good gems in anything. So let's begin the question, very simple. When you hear of creation, what goes through your mind? What do you think of creation? Yes. Okay. All right. What else? Yes.
Being thankful to God for all the things that we have.
Okay. Okay. What else?
Creation week.
Pardon?
Creation week.
Okay. Is the emphasis on week on purpose? All right.
Second day, third day.
Okay. All right. Got no problems with that. What else? Yes.
My mind goes back to Genesis 1:1.
Okay.
Can't believe that. Michael, close up the book.
Okay. All right. Who else? What else? Creation. What does that mean to you? What comes across your mind when you hear creation?
I think of the joy God must have had creating everything. You know, to me, you could look anywhere and say, good grief, what an artist he was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you think of nothing else.
All right. Jim?
The firmament and the entire universe had to start somewhere.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? What do you think of when you hear the word creation? What comes to your mind, Jim?
Well, on 3ABN from Loma Linda, they have someone that's speaking on creation, and I thought it was real good. I enjoyed it. He really brought out a lot of things that were new to me.
Being from Loma Linda, was he for it or against it?
Oh, he's smart.
Okay, I'm just checking. What else do you think of? Creation.
Think about beginning.
Pardon?
Think about beginning.
Okay.
And so, if whoever was at the beginning also knows about the end. So, basically, our life started somewhere. And God, since I believe that God created us, He also has a plan for our end. So
okay.
Everything basically that He tells us.
Okay. Anybody? Yes.
Another comment. You can be a bona fide Seventh-day Adventist and still believe in evolution.
Okay.
That's coming from an SBA teacher
of
21 years.
All right. I about got crucified in San Antonio on that statement. Yes.
I believe in the statements that's been made, but we're all in here are older. And we don't realize what's happening in our church to the younger people. They don't believe it. And many of them are leading by the thousands.
Okay.
We're almost certain age groups, we just don't have them anymore.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
When I was studying about creation, it gave me hope and encouragement because I say, if this God can make something out of nothing, then it's not difficult for Him to fix what's already there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at just my life in general. I'm looking at my health. I'm looking at things that are already there. Mm-hmm. So it gave me hope.
Okay. Gives you hope. Creation gives you hope. Anybody else? What does creation mean? Yes?
We just had the opportunity for Christmas holidays to go through an aquarium and Chattanooga, Tennessee, while you're out there. And if you think about God's creation in the aquarium world of all these fish and undersea animals, God was not just creative, but He had a wild imagination.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, anybody else? Creation. What comes to your mind? What comes to your mind when I say Big Bang Theory? Pardon?
That's a new beginning.
A new beginning? Okay. Anything else?
When you say Big Bang Theory, it's just, to me, it's just theory.
Okay. All right. Yes?
I'm reading a book right now that my grandson gave to me for Christmas. And it's the language of God and how a scientist wrote the book and believes in creation.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just started the book and it's quite interesting.
Okay.
But it explains his views on both.
Okay.
All right. I think science is fascinating.
Ms. Walter said something that's very interesting. Did you ever imagine that there would be within our church a controversy over creation versus evolution?
You have to say theory of evolution.
All right.
Not evolution itself, because evolution can be proven.
Yeah. Okay. Got to remember, I'm a very simple person when it comes to, you know, I've got to confess, even though Sue says that I know everything, because that's what she says to me quite often, Ernie, you know everything. I don't know anything about science. So my portfolio on science is void and will continue to be void. And it will be void when I get to heaven, despite people think I'm going to have a revelation and want to plant things and grow them. Ain't going to happen.
I don't want to be there to see that.
Now, here's how my simple mind works. What day did God create a tree? Which one? That's good. Good enough for me. Okay. Now, God created a tree. Now, how do you tell the age of a tree?
By the rings. And how old was that tree when it was created?
Are you teaching a lesson or am I teaching a lesson? I'm going to tell Sue, give her the notes. Yeah. I mean, that's how my simple mind works. If the age of a tree is by the rings, and God created the tree on the fifth day, how old was the tree on the sixth day? See? What day was Adam created? Sixth day. How old was Adam the seventh day?
Day old?
But I thought he was created a full-grown man. See? So, I mean, that's how my simple mind works. Was how old was the dirt the first day that God created it? I don't know. But I do know Adam was created full, correct? You're the theology professor here. Yeah, see? So, how old was he the first day? One day old? Grown man. So, I mean, that's my answer to all of this. Yes?
Isn't age in our minds and maybe not in the Lord's?
Well, that's the next question then. Is a day in our mind or maybe not the Lord's? So, maybe does a day equal 1,000 years? 1,000,000 years? 1,000,000,000 years? Or one day?
The evening and the morning.
Okay. Yeah. How many of y'all know anything about the 1925 Scopes trial with John Scopes and Clarence Darrell in Dayton, Tennessee? That's exactly where Darrell trapped William Jennings Bryan. Was could a day be 25 hours, 30 hours, 100 hours? And he finally got to where it was a millennium. What keeps us from thinking that the days were not in our terminology? Morning and the evening, or evening and the morning. What else?
What do you mean when you say it's not in our terminology?
Pardon me?
What do you mean when you say it's not in a day not in our terminology?
Well, some people don't think it is. I mean, that was her question. Could a day, is a day a literal day? Yes?
Joseph Bates, who was one of the early Adventists, originally said that they should keep the Sabbath according to when it occurs at the equator,
okay,
which is the measurement of how many times the earth goes around in one day.
Okay. Well,
just call it a day.
Joseph Bates was a great sea captain.
There's a day and a night involved. But,
okay. What makes you think, as a Seventh-day Adventist, that it was seven literal days?
Well, I look at my calendar and see.
The Bible says so.
Okay. What else?
I thought it was defined as sundown to sundown.
Okay, it is. What else?
Well, it's all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it talks about the earth being created in 6 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then there's the question, because there's always questions.
Sure.
It doesn't answer everything.
Sure.
The question in Revelation that Satan was tossed from heaven to this earth, and this was his home.
Mm-hmm.
So how long was he here?
Don't know.
Before Adam came to be, we don't know.
Don't know.
Could have been millions of years.
Could have been cast down afterwards. We don't know.
We don't know.
That's the fun thing about the Bible. If you want to put the Bible under a microscope and put everything together in little pieces, you got a lot of things we just don't know. That's why creation doesn't excite me. There's a lot of things I don't know. I do know one thing. I've been camping 3 times in my life. 2 of them were disasters because I was with Sue. The 3rd time, I went with, do you know George Showalter?
Yeah.
Went with George Showalter and his wife and Bill Perryman and his wife. And we went out to New Mexico. And I thought it'd be really nice until we had to carry all of our stuff from where we parked to, I swear it was 30 miles. They said it was a mile out in the middle of nowhere. And then I looked around and found there wasn't a bathroom. And so we camped out under the stars. Now, I do remember about midnight sticking my head out from under the tent. And now remember, I'm a city boy. And staring up at the stars, which were just absolutely gorgeous. And the first time I probably really seen a night sky without any influence. And I do remember sitting and laying there and staring at that and looking at that. And came to a conclusion of seeing the moon and all the stars and all of this. How can anybody logically in their right mind begin to think that this was all an accident? That this all just happened by pure accident. And of course, you all know the analogy. If we took a watch parts and put them all in a paper bag and shook them all up and then threw them out on the floor, how many times would we have to do that until when we threw it out one day, there was a watch put together? Now, that's how my simple mind works. But I did, for the first time in my life, think, you know, this had to be no accident. I mean, I took that God was the creator. I just accepted it. But I do remember saying, how could anybody think this was an accident?
You know more about science than you're telling us.
No, I know logic. I don't know science. I know logic. So that's what I feel. So let's look at this creation. By the way, what was the highlight of creation? Creation of man. But what else?
Sabbath.
The Sabbath. You see, you start doing away with literal days, then how do you fit the Sabbath in there? Is it symbolic then? And why the Sabbath? God certainly didn't need the rest. It was man who needed the rest. It was God's knowledge looking way down along life's way, knowing that man would need a rest from what this world has to offer. So let's begin with the story of creation, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. This is the first name that God introduces Himself by. And it is the name Elohim. Elohim is the name that God uses the most in the Old Testament, 2,250 times. Elohim is a very beautiful promise. It says, that which I have created, I will sustain, and I will never, never let go. So Elohim is a promise of what He has done and will do in our life. He has created us. And He will never let us down, let us go. We can choose to leave Him, but He will never choose to leave us. So the way I look at the beginning of creation, of all the names He could have picked, He picked the one that's the most promising to us as an individual. When I look at creation, who said that the joy? Somebody said God's joy? Absolutely. Can you imagine the joy that God has when He created the angels, other worlds, created our world, because He had the one thing that God loves, and that's companionship. So often, we picture God as one who's kind of set back, saying, what are you going to do? I better keep a record. I've got to see if you're naughty or nice. And God's whole desire from the very beginning of creation is the same desire that He wants for us today, and that's companionship. God loves friendship. God seeks friendship. And so He created our world to expand His companionship and His friendship. And that I'm very thankful for. Certainly He has a great imagination. Anybody that would create some of these dumb-looking animals? Some of these flowers? Constellations? I mean, I guess a person could get caught up in it. I love to listen to Rob talk about stars and all of that because he just loves it. I tune him out, but I love to hear him talk about it because it's meaningful to him. And he gets excited. So God in the beginning, our Elohim, our covenant maker, created us with a promise. I'll never let you go. There's something else that's meaningful to me about creation. When He created the other worlds, do you think He knew the end from the beginning? Do you think God knows the end from the beginning?
Yes.
Says He does. When He created our world, do you think He knew the end from the beginning? Do you? When God created our world, when He spoke, by the way, who did the speaking? God? Pardon? God or Jesus?
Both.
Both. Pardon?
Okay.
When our world was spoken into existence, do you think the Godhead knew what the cost was going to be?
Yes.
You see, that's what touches me about creation. Whether it took God a zillion years or 7 days, I believe 7 days. Whether a tree is 100 million years old the first day it was created, or one day old, don't care. Man full grown. Sabbath, absolutely a blessing when presented in the right context. But the thing that touches me about creation is when He created our world, He knew the pain that He was going to go through my ups and downs with Ernie Pyle. And he knew the times that he'd be heartbroken. But he knew the times that he would be happy. And he said, it's worth it. I will create. And he created the world knowing what every one of you down the road would be like. And what the up and down of your spiritual journey will be. He looked way ahead, knowing the cost. And said, I'm creating anyway. And when he created the world, he said to each one of us as individuals, 6,000 years later, if you ascribe to that, which I do, 6,000 years later, I know the heartache, I know the sorrows, I know the goodness, I know the times, but I want a relationship with you, and you. And he created. On the sixth day, he said, let us make man in our image. And he looked ahead to the cross of Calvary. And when he spoke those words, he knew that it was going to take the life of Jesus Christ to finally display how much he loved and he cared for us. And in his kindness, in his goodness, in his happiness, wanting that fellowship with us, he said, Adam, come forth. Or however he created him with the dirt. He still created. To me, that's what moves me about creation. Don't know all the scientific stuff. I do know one thing. He loves everybody in this class. I want everybody to take about 30 seconds and reflect in your life, your spiritual journey, where God revealed to you in your most desperate time how much He cared and how much He loved. I want you to take 30 seconds and think about where He revealed Himself in your life and said to you, I care, I love, and I put my arms around you. You are my child. I created you. Take that 30 seconds and think about that. The God who can speak and land appears, sun appears, moon and the stars appear, take some dirt, man appears. Can recreate in your life and make you a new person. The goodness of God is, no matter what you have done in your life, He's never left you. Or you might think He has. That's the devil speaking. Because He's right there with you. And He's always whispering, come home. Come back to me. The Creator that can speak and things happen can show and make things happen in your life. Jesus came to this earth to demonstrate to us and to the people in His ministry that they did not have to remain the same people. A woman caught in adultery, about ready to get stoned, did not have to be that person. He could create in her a new being. The thief on the cross who said, one said, "Get us out of this mess if you got any power." And the other one said, "Lord, let me be with you." There's a song in a project called The Story where the thief on the cross is talking to Jesus in the song. And he says, this is how love wins. Because as he looked to Jesus, he saw that love. And he says something that's very good. He says in the song, "My greatest regret is that I can't get off of this cross, fall on my knees and worship you. That's my greatest regret. I wish that I could carry you, but instead you're going to carry me home." That's creation. And that one I don't have to worry about. Is it a literal 24 hours? Or if it's eons, because it's a lifetime. And thank God it's a lifetime. Because He wants to create in you a new person. And so He comes along and He sees blind beggars that's crying out for Him in mercy. He came to create a new being everywhere He went. And that He comes and to create us into a new being. Elohim, the covenant maker. It was Elohim that Joseph, in Genesis the 50th chapter, Joseph is about to die. And he calls his two sons in Egypt and says, someday our Elohim, our covenant maker, the one that will not forsake us, is going to take you and your descendants to the promised land. I'm dying. But Elohim will not let us down. And when that day comes, take my bones and carry them to the promised land and bury me in that land. You see, that was the faith that Joseph had in his Elohim. Because he knew God was faithful, would not let him down. Now, the nice thing about this quarter is Rob's going to get to teach. Roger's going to get to teach. I don't know what they think of creation, and I don't care. I will be here and smile. I look forward to their input. Satan wants us to get bogged down on anything other than how much God loves us, how much God does for us, and how much God wants us to be in heaven with Him. And so when we get to heaven and God lectures on the great concept of, is there evolution? Is it a theory? Is it all of this? I'm going to do what I do best. I'm going to send Sue and get a synopsis of it when it's all over. But let's not get bogged down. The reason our young people are leaving this church, talking about Adventist church, and somebody said 80%?
86%.
Over 80% are leaving. is not, in my humble opinion, the theory of evolution versus creation. It is not righteousness by faith versus legalism. It is not, is there a sanctuary in heaven or isn't there a sanctuary in heaven? Is 1844, how are you doing? Good. Is 1844 important or not important? Tell you why young people are leaving the church. Is we collectively have not held up the love of God. We've not held up the portrait of God that attracts them. We have not held up to them what God has done for them in their life. We've pointed out what they don't do right. They don't listen to this right. You can't believe this way. You can't do this thing. You can't be like that. And we've never held up who God is, how much He cares, how much He loves, and how much He wants them to be part of their life. We have done everything well in proving that we are, quote, the correct church. And if you don't belong to this church, the chances of going to hell are very well magnified. What we have failed to do collectively is introduce them to God and His love and His relationship and His kindness and what He will do in their life. And then as they begin to get to know Him, then they will come to an understanding of how precious the Sabbath is. They will come to an understanding on how precious the things that we teach are. But we're masterful at teaching what we should do and do a very poor job of who gives us the power. I speak from example. There's some of us in this class that went to a school in the 60s. All people meant well. But we sure knew what the rules were. But we never found God. We knew that girls were not supposed to wear short sleeve blouses because it was sexual. And I sat there and pondered that for months. Told you I was a simple person.
Didn't go logical.
Go unlogical. Yeah. See? We knew that we are to turn the showers on, get wet, turn the showers off, lather, then turn the showers back on. We learned that. Hey, am I making this up? See? They just forgot to introduce us to the person that loved us the most. And so no wonder we were rebellious. Rules without relationship result in rebellion. So this quarter, enjoy the conversations. Feel free to speak up. Feel free to give your ideas. Just do it when the other two guys teach. Because I don't know all the answers on creation. But I do know the Creator. Met Him twice. I met Him when I read in Genesis that He spoke and He created. And then I met Him in my life when He came in and created. That's all creation means to me. Our Father, there's something masterful about You. You gave us a book, 66 of them. But you didn't answer all of our questions. Even when you came to this earth, your son talked in parables and never really gave yes or no answers. Sometimes, Father, it would be simple just to have that transcript with a question and an answer. But you know, we don't learn that way. We learn by thinking, looking at possibilities, talking to you, wonderment, trying to figure out answers. And as we draw closer to you, you begin revealing to us some of the things that are important. That's why you've invited us to come to heaven and spend eternity with you, because we'll walk with you and we'll talk with you and we'll have our questions. Mine will be on the 2300 days. Others will be other questions. But you'll take eternity to sit down and discuss them. And we're told that throughout eternity, we'll grow closer and closer and love you more and more. How that's possible to love you more, I don't understand. But I can't help but know the more I'm with you, the more I see you, the more I talk to you, my affection has to be greater. Thank you for what you've done in each one of our lives. We paused this morning to reflect upon the times that you've come into our life and said, "Son, daughter, I love you and I care for you." Help us through the hard times to keep remembering those days, because you'll continually repeat them. We pray for this class, and we're thankful that we can be here together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. Have a good week, good Sabbath. Please remember us as we have the opportunity to witness in Chattanooga next week.